CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, people are excited about Quiz of Thursday, huh? Good morning. Are you feeling sexy today? Are you feeling good? Look in the mirror and you're happy with what you see? Are you kind of maybe just a little bit happy? I mean, like, would you rather look like Amy Schumer?
No.
Bless.
Did I tell you what happened? I bring up Amy Schumer. I posted a picture about last week, maybe over the weekend, maybe Saturday. I put this picture on Instagram. Potato or Amy Schumer?
Oh, goodness.
It's got a whole bunch of pictures of potatoes and then Amy Schumer.
I still don't know which is which.
Yeah, I can't.
I've been looking at it all week.
So I just want to read you a few of these comments because there were a lot of people who went, ha, 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 you know, it's a joke. You're meant to kind of laugh at these things. But some people really think that the point of existing is to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth, you don't deserve the internet, says the one.
Oh, no, I think that's meant in a jokey way, though.
No, it's got a very serious face afterwards. But uh-oh. Anyway, I don't mind that. She's an ugly bitch, but those potatoes look nothing like her, says Tima Tonsi, which I thought was funny. This is hilarious. And then here, with love from Shan, says completely unnecessary. Unfollow.
Oh.
Let's just give her a moment to find herself someone to follow that's more worthwhile. I've always thought Amy Schumer looks like you, says Ntishi. I appreciate that. You see, that's funny. The Moon and the Lily. It's always these people with these fucking terrible names that do this. No, Gareth, that's so wrong. That's going to be an unfollow. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's like they're sitting with their children and they go, I'm so disappointed in you. And instead of realizing they're not talking to their children and they're talking to another adult who doesn't give a damn about their opinion, they actually sit there and think about these things. Then this one, what a dick move from an ex-fan. That's from Kelly KZN.
Oh, did she become an ex-fan mid-sentence?
Mid-sentence. What a dick move.
Wow.
See, it's okay if I joke about just about anything else. Jacob Zuma jokes. Kelly never had a problem with that. I've joked about everything except now Amy Schumer. So Amy Schumer was her straw that broke her back.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you got to put people in difficult positions like this, Gareth.
Grace Kadzia says, are you that mean? And the picture of her is a picture of her and her horse. You're riding. You put another animal under you for your pleasure and you drive it until it sweats and it's tired and it's grumpy. And you're going to give me shit. And this one, Devolution Joe, says, seriously, attacking her looks is the best you can do? Dick move, G. You know, like I spend at least 5 minutes of every single show we've ever done complaining about how horrible I look. Don't you get that that's part of what I do? I'm obsessed with how people look. Obsessed. And I know I'm not in the top drawer.
Yeah. You know what? I can smell the hypocrisy all the way from here. Because, you know, we do this a lot as women's. We take great offense when men talk about our looks, right? But it's okay for us to talk about other women's looks. Oh. And ladies, don't pretend like you don't call men ugly too or worse things. Come now.
Well, talk about our small dicks. That I know you do. This one says, T-Mull Michelle. That's rude and disrespectful to this talented woman. By the way, this is a woman who's made a career out of talking about what a fat slut she is. That's what she talks about in her show. You can't blame me now that I bring up that she might look like a potato and say I'm somehow worse than her. And she's so talented when all she can tell us from the beginning of her show until the end of a show is how fat and slutty she is. That's what she does. Do you even follow Amy Schumer? I mean, at least I know what she's joking about. You seem to jump to her defense, like these people who jump to God's defense, like, you shouldn't blaspheme. I'm thinking, well, if God is so powerful, why the hell does he need piddly piss-widdly you to stand up and defend him, you know? So I said, Dear people who are disappointed and offended by these things.
Oh dear.
Your parents raised you badly and you're weak.
Gosh.
You're not allowed to expect your feelings to be considered every time someone makes a comment or a joke. Your parents should have made you more resilient. Their failure is now going to upset other people. But I'm not going to let it put me off having fun, especially if the object of the fun is a potato like Amy Schumer. And then someone said, and this is a good point, you know, for all those social justice warriors, anyone remember that Amy said some horrible things about Costa Semenya?
Bitch.
Yeah. Nobody remembers that. They're going to go at me for comparing that featureless face to a potato. I mean, just calm down. Like my buddy says, you sweep your own backyard before you start worrying about mine. I got plenty of dead leaves in my backyard because it's fucking autumn. I hate autumn. Have you noticed that? The leaves are starting to fall off the trees?
Don't have a backyard.
No, I don't have trees.
You guys don't have trees?
No.
Where do you live? In the Namib? What, you don't have a tree?
Mm-mm.
You don't see a tree it's from just, where you were? What, are you in prison?
I also don't.
Just building. And then only when you get out onto the streets do you see, trees.
Oh, no. My neighbor below me has this little spot of grass. So if I just look down, there's a little spot of grass.
You know that if you look onto greenery, it improves your mood.
Yeah, and if you look at concrete like we do, you get grumpy slopes. Like,
have you got a little balcony?
Yes.
Okay, we put some pot plants there.
Oh, no.
No, no, you got to. Dude, you have to. It's very bad for your psychology if you don't see green. Our ancestors grew up looking at green everywhere they went. If you don't have a sense of space, you got to create it. I used to live in a less than 100 square meter flat in Sandton. I lived there for like 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were luckily some trees across the road, and I was on the top floor, so I didn't feel all hemmed in. But I had to put plants in pots on the balcony, otherwise I would have gone insane. And I have plants in my house as well. You have to have greenery. You'll get very depressed. This is important. I'm looking after your psychological health.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Please buy a plant. I'll buy you a plant. Please keep it alive. It's so worth it.
I know why he's worried.
Yeah. Why?
Because you're going to kill it. And that's because I kill nothing survives. I don't have that green thumb thing. I kill them all.
It's like the commitment. Then you have to remember to look after
and then you forget
thing.
About it.
Yes,
it's hit and miss. Because,
can I put a picture of a plant? Can I frame a landscape something?
You have very low expectations of your brain because your brain can tell the difference.
Can I push my TV out onto the balcony and permanently have it on National Geographic?
Guys, it's about having a living thing in your immediate and proximate space. You have to have it. It's like Ben and Miaz's. I mean, if he didn't have Miaz's and Daniela was away as much as she is, Ben would go insane. You eventually get bored with masturbation. You have to do something. You have to give attention to another living creature, even if you just... I mean, I talk to my dog. It doesn't reply.
Yeah.
But you
get it off your chest.
Yes.
That interaction, there's something else other than you, because we are all actually really boring once we break down things. We don't have a lot going on.
How dare you?
That's true, though.
I don't know, hey? I don't like the idea of looking after other living things.
But try
with work.
Listen, a plant. Some plants, I have killed as many plants as you.
Yeah.
Some don't survive. Like, especially those delicate little ferns and things. They always look so pretty when you see them in the nursery or in the shop. You think, I'm going to have that. That'll be nice. I'll put that in my house, and it'll look all pretty, and it'll grow, and I'll feel like I'm adding life to my space and all that kind of thing.
You have a little spring
and then,
in your step.
And then 3 days later, it's all brown and crusty, and it looks like it's had the worst time ever, and you feel bad because you've killed a thing.
Oh, no.
But it happens. Oh, here's Amy Schumer's tweet, by the way. Someone just sent this to me. Which part of that South African chick crossed the finish line first, her dick or her Adam's apple? You see? And we're going to worry about when I compare it to a potato?
No, listen, she has a great sense of humor.
She does. But the point with comedians is they understand that they're going to have the piss taken out of them too.
Yeah. The title of her own book is The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo. you know, taking off like the girl with the dragon tattoo. Like, she's fine with it. So,
yeah, all right. I just wanted to tell you that story. And the other thing that I can't believe, controversy just seems to jump. Everything's controversial these days.
Everything.
You say that you like the color orange. Someone goes, orange? How dare you? Orange is disgusting. What are you, Hitler? Yeah. Like, I like the color orange. I tweeted, and I haven't tweeted for such a long time. I thought, let me dip my toe in this pond.
Uh-oh.
Because I was watching ENCA last night. Remind me, I've got to play you a clip of Jeremy Maggs and Iman Rapetti trying to be funny with each other. Oh, my God, does it fail.
Oh, no.
I said, the way SARS talks, and this is on the news last night. I'll give you this story briefly. I mean, my buddy might want to cover this in the news properly later, but I'll tell you what I heard. So SARS go on with Ramapetti last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're busy telling her, there's this fuckhead from SARS. I hate them. I mean, I'm not going to mess around on the outskirts here. Who in the whole world likes SARS? Let's think about this. They put a gun to your head and they say you have to pay tax. And if you don't, they lock you in jail. You didn't sign up for this. Mm. You know, if you go to your work and they say to you, we're only going to pay you R5. And then they pay you R4, you can go, hold on. You said you're going to pay me R5. It's here in the contract, right?
Yeah.
These guys, you were just born here. And because you were born in this piece of geography, which a self-appointed government, because I don't recall any children voting. I don't recall any babies coming out of the womb and casting a ballot. Suddenly, as soon as you're able to earn a single cent for yourself, you have to give a certain percentage of that to them.
Mm.
And I didn't agree to that, particularly when you see how SARS hands over all your money to a government that then inappropriately and in a corrupt fashion spends it left, right, and center on themselves and not on the poor people who you agreed to help out.
You know.
Right? Anyway, so this guy goes on with Ramapetti last night. And he's sitting there with his badly fitting suit and his smirk on his face because he knows his business is to extract cash from you. And he says, you know all these South Africans who live overseas? Like Sia wanted to do. He wanted to go over and work overseas. And you can keep your money if you go overseas and work. And let's say you go to Dubai and you're a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Or let's say you go to Bali and you rake the beaches for people. Or you do some kind of, you teach English in South Korea. You know, you're out there because you want experience and you want to earn some tax-free cash so you can keep traveling. That's why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever the reason is. This guy goes on, he's like, well, I think we've been extremely generous, he says, for so long. Now, we know where this is coming from. SARS have run out of money. We discussed this yesterday.
Mm.
So SARS are looking at new ways to milk all of us because we're the only way they can make. They can't make. These guys are not productive people. They're not offering you a service you need to pay for. So they have to just take it by force. It's violence. They take it violently because if you disagree, you go to jail. So they say, no, these people, they must pay tax on that money. They're not earning it here, so it doesn't come out of our economy. It isn't generated here. They're generating it elsewhere. But SARS is like, well, we want our piece of that pie.
And what's their justification for this?
They say everyone in the world does that, which is, I don't know if that's true or not. Even if it is, maybe it's one of the few advantages left to being South African, because there are few. Maybe this is one thing that makes it worthwhile for a young person in their 20s to be born in this fucking place, is that they can go and travel and they can earn some cash tax-free. Maybe that's the last vestige of why it's good to be a South African citizen. Hmm?
I think I might cry.
Yeah. So anyway, Ramapetti says to this guy, she asked him some good questions. She's like, well, isn't this going to put people off? He sits there, he folds his arms, he goes, well, you know, they've been earning it tax-free up to now. Like, he deserves to step in here and take some of what's not his. Governments are so full of it. They really are, all over the world. I'm not just saying ours.
Yeah, every single one of them. Doesn't matter which country you go to.
How do you like the fact, Mabali Moloi, that you work for at least 4, maybe 6 months of the year for them?
You work hard for your money.
It's not my money, evidently.
No, she gets to take home. If she's lucky, she takes home half.
But we don't even get like a Christmas party at the end of the year. when you work for a company, they throw this token bash at the end of the year.
Do you know what they do? They take the money and then they keep it for themselves. Mm. They don't even build houses, lay on water, make sure we have cheaper electricity, build dams so we don't have droughts and water restrictions. All we hear about day in, day out is how they piss money away on SAA and on ESCOM and on the SABC and on Jacob Zuma's children and his wives. Are you kidding me? And this SARS, they go on TV and they say, so here's what I say. I go, the way SARS talks about taxing people who work overseas or domicile their businesses there makes me think South African citizenship is a liability. Huh. Right?
Okay.
Fair enough point. Well, listen to these comments I get. You've got to hear this stuff. Leave. This is Olile. Says, just leave. So Olile hates me more than he hates the fact that the government take his money.
Yes, yes.
This is the kind of idiot we're dealing with here. The Queen of Ayobanus says,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. She says, get out, Cliff. America does exactly the same.
Cliff?
And she spelt it with X. A C and an X and a whole lot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. That's why I'm... and then smart-ass Nathan, I don't sit and do tax law all day, dude. He says, it is. Are you only figuring this out now? Oh, I'm so sorry I'm not as smart as you. I just realized again what a fucking cesspool this Twitter is. Muzi Mgege says, what the hell are you still doing here, Vele? This one, this is some of my favorites. Please leave all your wealth behind. Thanks. That's from I Am Lebohang. Like, I got tons and tons of wealth. Let me tell you, I would be wealthy if I were in any other country. Good riddance, says outside Dr. Mbeki. Good riddance. You were never deserving to be a South African. What a punk. Like, here I am telling you, all I'm saying is your government are stealing your money. Yours. I'm not talking about mine. I don't have a company that's registered offshore, and I don't have overseas assets, and I don't work overseas. So don't attack me. I'm talking about people like your children, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins who are working in places where they actually have job opportunities, because God alone knows this place doesn't provide any. And you're going to go at me like I'm the problem? You hate me so much that you can't focus on the problem? Well, you deserve to be raped by your government. You deserve to have a half or more of your money taken away by corrupt politicians, and you deserve to fail. I can't help you. I'm trying to stand up for ordinary people here, and you want to fight with me? I'm the biggest problem in your life? I don't even know you, douchebag. I'm never going to meet you because I don't hang around in the filthy gutter that you eke out a survival in.
It's just interesting because there are obviously different types of people on Facebook and Twitter, but between the two of them, none of them like you, hey, Gareth.
Well, the whites like, and the blacks.
You got a beating from Facebook and you got a beating from Twitter yesterday.
I can't wait. And Instagram. I'm going to cry. Yeah. What am I going to do?
I mean, none of them like
you. How is this?
Excuse me.
Unbelievable. All right, let's move on. We got so much to talk about this
morning. Just time and time again when... Like reason, perspective, and all those things are too difficult. Always resort to hate and abusing someone.
Well, yeah. Also, and let's jump to the conclusion that Gareth is the problem here, and not
because it's so much easier.
Not the fact that our government are trying to grab every single spare penny that falls from our broken pockets. It's unbelievable how people will allow themselves to be fucked while shouting about someone else being fucked down the road, huh? Isn't it incredible?
It's true. It's like being fucked and then complaining about the person who's complaining about being fucked.
Yeah.
That's a strange way to live life.
What a weird psychosis you live in. What a constant victim mentality that, you know, it's instead of like being sensible and saying, well, here's a person who's actually made a good point about why I should be keeping my money and not giving it to corrupt politicians. No, he's got to be the problem. Well, those people are always going to be – I've got bad news for them. They're always going to be poor because they don't understand. They're like – they're sitting under a waterfall saying, I'm thirsty. They're swimming in a crystal clear mountain stream and they're going, I am so thirsty. I wish there was some water around because they're dense. They were – I don't know what happened. Their parents might have dropped them on their heads when they were children. It's just insane.
I would love to understand the psychology of it all, though, because it happens everywhere. I mean, if you look at the Men Are Trash Brigade,
But some of those are your friends, be honest.
No. I love men. They're useful for orgasms. Yep. But these, you know, these groups of women who've, like, they just hate, they just even hate the fact that men wake exist. Up in the morning and yeah. breathe in and out.
Right. You got to ask yourself, like, what fuels that kind of hatred and anger? You know, I've said it a million times. I go to sleep at night, and 9 times out of 10, I got a smile on my face because I don't think about negative stuff. Mm-hmm. What I worry sometimes, that's the 1 out of 10 times where I'm like worried about, you know, my health or my finances or relationships I have with people or the country or stuff like that. But it's 1 out of 10. The rest of those nights, I try to go to sleep with my head clear. I don't think of malice and negativity and, ooh, I wish something terrible would happen to Sia, or I wish something awful would happen to my buddy or Ben, or, you know, to me, that would be such a waste. And you look at those two assholes in the Spur over the weekend, you think to yourself, just to be so angry. And by the way, it was about their children. And let me tell you, all their children are morons because they're being raised by people like that. Those children have no hope. None of them. Someone just sent me a picture, by the way, of those people, which is why I'm thinking about them. And they're all wearing those Uzi shirts. And they say, well, Uzi, for when you're no good to society. And they showed me the picture of the dude, the white guy shouting at the woman. He's wearing an Uzi shirt. Then there's like 4 criminals in the dock. They're all wearing Uzi. It's just not a good brand.
If you really do look at like South African court footage, yeah. most likely. Yeah. Sorry, Uzi, but...
there's a lot more of us that love you, G, says Anonymous. I told my mates if I was gay, I would do you. Oh, well, how nice. What a compliment. Thank you. Yeah. Timeline for the far future. In 50 to 400 million years, the Earth will naturally replenish its fossil fuel reserves. I hope experts can enlighten us more and discuss it on a graph. Well, I'm not really that interested in fossil fuel, if you don't mind.
What does that mean?
And also, how many years from now?
Yeah, we're not going to be here, by the way.
We don't care about what happens 100 million years from now.
Why do you think I don't have children?
50 to 400. 50 is still reasonable, folks.
Here's an interesting point. You know, problems that Dubai is seen as tax-free, but there are a lot of indirect taxes and the high cost of living. For example, an apartment rent would be over 300K a year versus 100K in SA. Additionally, 5% municipal charges paid on that rent. Schooling could be 200,000 a year per child, and it goes on. Well, you know, you make these decisions, but... For our government to climb in now just because they're desperate for more money, because SARS can't collect what it used to because it's being mismanaged. And we can see that all the money that is brought in is then mismanaged as well. I don't think it's fair for them to pass that burden on to hardworking South Africans. Why is it always the hardworking people that get punished?
Because I don't know. Because
They're the most obedient. They've been working hard. They know how to get into a system.
Don't know if I would survive the drive between work and home. This is from Don. If I didn't have you guys, if you're looking for a great series, the missus and I have just finished a new series on Netflix called The People versus OJ Simpson. What a great series. He even used the word yussus. He says, although we know the result of how it all ends, it's still brilliant. It stars Cuba Gooding Jr., who's great, John Travolta and David Schwimmer. Do yourself a favor and look at the first episode. You'll be hooked. Thanks again for a great show. Don. And Hannes says, I'm sorry I'm a day behind, but I wanted to come up for Eusebius at 7:02, but was it not for his bash every once in a while in the country EFF attitude? I would not have stripped my mood and obviously changed 7:02. I would not have discovered Cliff Central. And even worse, me and my kids would not have come across hashtag invest. Thank you for pissing me off. Obviously, he stopped listening to talk radio and came to us. So, well, thank you very much, Hannes. That's nice to hear. Anushka says, I stumbled across the Spur guy's fake Twitter account and saw that he follows AfriForum, Steve Hoffmeyer, and me, Gareth. You are inspirational.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, I'm in terrible company there, but I've been in worse company. I saw someone the other day who follows me and Donald Trump.
What a league to be in.
I know.
You are the company you keep. Isn't there a saying like that?
I didn't choose that company, by the way. You chose to put me and him in a category. I'm not responsible for that. All right, listen, we got lots to get to. Let's start off with some news with Mabali Moloi. The news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They have been making pizzas for what, 25 years, Mubs?
Yes, they have.
It's amazing.
It's 1992.
The best. Bring it on. If you want to stuff your face with some awesome pizza, these guys are the ones to talk to. Mm. You don't even feel guilty about it afterwards. You know, usually after a pizza, you're like,
yes.
You feel fat and you slap your stomach. Not with Colcacchio. Oh. Go and check them out. They're all over the country. They've opened new branches, and there might just be one down the street from you. You cannot go wrong if you try Colcacchio's Pizzeria. They're the reason you crave pizza. That's right. Here's Mubs with the latest in the news.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Improvised what a nice trumpet.
I'm so sorry, it's just feeling kind of gassy this morning.
All right, okay. See ya. You don't have to take credit for everything.
Okay, so now that I think we're done, because you know our short attention span, now that I think we're done criticizing Minister Bathabile Dlamini over the SASSA debacle.
Oh, we've already moved on to the Spur people.
Yes.
That's how stupid and fickle we are.
Yes,
yeah, because we've got a taste for life.
Meanwhile, those poor people still sitting there going, oh my God, tick tock, tick tock. Next week we'll find out whether or not we can survive the month or not.
This focus has now shifted to Cash Paymaster Services, CPS.
And it should.
That would be the company that the department was, you know, had a contract with to pay out social grants. Now, CPS may have to hand back R1 billion in profit it is estimated to have made from the social grants over the past 5 years.
Good.
The Constitutional Court is waiting to receive and scrutinize CPS's audited statements for the period at the end of April. When the court extended the invalidity of the CPS contract back in 2013, it also ruled that the company was not allowed to profit from the contract. The firm was ordered to file within 30 days of the contract, ending an audited statement of the expenses incurred, the income received, as well as the net profit earned. And analysts estimate that CPS made about R1 billion profit over that 5-year period.
No,
which
one,
the Constitutional Court said you're not allowed to make.
Let me ask you this. This is basically a state function. We shouldn't have a private company involved in this. I don't understand how this is necessary. And I'm speaking as someone who's a capitalist, who believes that the market must be free. But distributing social grants, please disagree with me. I would love to have one of you or anybody else tell me that I'm full of shit on this. The state is responsible for looking after these people. We've decided, for good or for bad, that part of what we do in South Africa is we have a social safety net where the poorest of the poor get a tiny little grant. It's not a lot of money.
No, I mean, it's not as much as you think it is.
No, the fact is we got 16 to 17 million people on this thing, which is not good, and it's not sustainable. We can't keep paying for these people. They've got to become productive citizens. There's got to be employment for them. But in the meantime, we've decided, for better or worse, we're going to help them. Right, Mubs?
Sure.
So, you're the boss of social security in South Africa. Doesn't it make sense that you build the infrastructure where there's zero profit built in for these people to get their money? That's part of your job. It's your only job. That's all you have to do. Why is there a company skimming cream off the top? This is a state function. Come on, guys. This isn't rocket science. What's Bathabile Dlamini doing besides drinking that she needs this company and that company and then this financial service? They're all climbing in because they could see she's an idiot and they could see a way to make easy money out of this incompetent, bumbling drunkard who runs that department. Doesn't that strike you as...
It's become a way of life though, Gareth. This is how it works.
But how bad is that?
It's horrendous.
Because the only people who should make any money out of this thing are the beneficiaries of these tiny little grants. There shouldn't be any skimming of the surface for anyone else.
Yes, but surely as a capitalist, you understand that most people are in it to make money, Gareth.
But we don't
most people don't want to do good for no returns.
Mubs, we don't need them here. This is not about whether they want to do good or not. You're the Department of Social Welfare.
No, I'm talking about CPS as a business on their own.
We should use the post office, or we should use some other arm of state that can build the infrastructure to deliver this stuff at no profit.
At one point, there were discussions about whether or not CPS was going to be replaced by the post office, but then they decided that, no, we're going to stick with CPS. And I actually asked this to Justice last week while you were still in America, is, but why are CPS still in the picture when the Constitutional Court said your contract is invalid? Like, it's...
Yeah, well, exactly. And what it did...
Why are we...
And Justice also sat there going, I don't know, you've got to... I'm as crazed and confused as you are.
Anyway, so now CPS's, you know, statements, they're going to do a whole audit and they're going to try and determine whether or not this company
back the money
has in fact made this alleged billion rand profit over the past 5 years.
A billion. Just think about how much money. A billion rand.
Yep.
They've taken that billion rand for doing the job the government should be doing.
Mm.
The government should also have to pay that money back to all of us in tax. They should say to us, oh, guess what? Praveen might have announced a little tax increase here and there, but we're going to give it all back to you because we can't manage it properly. Then we're talking. There should be a price to pay for corruption. You better believe if we go after the wallets of these crooks, they'll suddenly stop their crookery. I don't see why people don't have to go to jail or why people don't have to pay back the cash.
Yeah, but when have people actually gone to jail to account, though?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Now, a South African woman is in custody after allegedly hiring an undercover policeman to kill her Mozambican husband. She's a 55-year-old woman who was arrested on Sunday in White River as she tried to hand over 20,000 rand to the policeman who pretended to be a hitman. The murder, according to the Hawks, was to have allegedly been disguised as a botched hijacking. The couple were to have been attacked in Malelane as they returned to their home. The woman was remanded in custody and has been investigated for the plot. Now, this is where the story gets even worse. Back in 2012, she became a suspect in the murder of her second husband. So this is husband number three. Her second husband, Alan Hepburn, 42, who was stabbed to death in the driveway of his home. She was a suspect in that investigation. According to police, her first husband died several years ago from cancer.
Well, that's probably suspicious too.
I don't know. People
probably made him like stand in front of the microwave.
I mean, currently they're not naming this woman, but I would say
you got it. You got to warn the rest of us men. What if one of us decides to marry her? She's a killer.
This is what I'm thinking. This is the kind of woman that you just don't fall for. You don't mess with. Three husbands that have two husbands that have now died. This third husband, there was a plot to have him killed. So.
Can I ask you something? Whatever happened to divorce?
Yeah, like, well...
When was that not good enough?
Yeah. Good question, that.
You don't get as much money. Because if the person dies, you get more money.
Yeah, but if you kill them, you get nothing. Yeah.
Well, if no one finds out you killed Gareth, then
no one finds out.
Well, in this case, she's been rumbled.
She's been caught because she was trying to get a hitman.
So well, money that's from... it. You roll the dice. Sometimes it comes up top. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So money allegedly from the second husband wasn't enough. She now needed to go after the third.
Wow.
Yes.
And even she probably got a payout from the first husband.
Maybe she's in the business of marrying men to kill them for their money.
Yeah, screw this whole making a living thing.
Whatever happened to open a spaza shop and get divorced?
Nah.
You know, for some people, Gareth, that's just not enough. Okay. And then four people were killed and scores injured when an attacker plowed a vehicle through crowds in central London yesterday before attempting to storm the House of Parliament. Police believe it is an act of Islamist-inspired terrorism.
Wow.
They indicated that they knew the identity of the assailant. He fatally stabbed an unarmed police officer on the grounds of Parliament after ramming the car onto the crowded sidewalks nearby. This was the first mass casualty terrorist attack in Britain since 2005, when 52 people and four attackers died in the July 7 bomb attacks on the London public transport system. Also, the assault yesterday came on the 1 year anniversary of the ISIS bomb attacks in Brussels.
And, you know, now there's a man who's kind of in fire on Twitter because he was part of these crowds in London who gathered around this incident and has taken a selfie in the midst of everything.
Oh, so and people are calling it inappropriate.
Inappropriate and insensitive.
I want to ask an inappropriate and insensitive question. Okay. Can I? Prepare yourself. Here it comes. Some political incorrectness.
Go ahead.
Well, how long is it going to take for us to say, well, this is a terrorist attack by a Muslim dude?
Well, they've said it already.
They've already said it.
There we go. Yeah, I was saying that in my head last night when I heard the story, but if I'd said it then, would I have been a racist and an Islamophobe and all kinds of things. And look what happened.
But you see, the thing is, seemingly there's a problem with saying it, Gareth, even though most of us were thinking it when it happened. We were thinking, oh, well...
Because we like to seem holier than thou.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
We judge people who say it like, oh, how dare you?
Yes, yes,
even though we were thinking it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ugh, what a stupid conflict we have, honestly.
All right, here's somebody anonymous says, don't agree with you about the grants. A government don't have the capacity or skills to pay grants, and private sector has to step in. They should be able to profit. Problem is state and not the CPS. Yeah, but the whole thing's just rotten. First of all, the state should be able to provide that. It's part of their job. And if they don't and they hire a company, that company doing work for government should make a minimal profit, not a billion rand.
An operating profit.
Yes. Like costs only. You work for government in this country, you get costs only. You know how much fat we'd cut out? We'd balance the books. We'd be a country with a surplus again. Wouldn't that be nice? Instead of a deficit.
I don't remember those days.
Oh, it wasn't so long ago. Thabo Mbeki. Thabo Mbeki had it under control. Not this guy who spends left, right, and center. All right, enough of that. Let's get into some sport. Everybody needs to calm down, take a big deep breath. It's only Thursday, after all.
Yeah, and I've got some of the most mild sporting news ever. Nothing overly controversial.
Calm us down, Ben. Coming up, by the way, in a moment, Anthea Gardner will give us the money shot, and we've got a special guest coming in to tell us about Stella Capital, the CEO, no less.
Right, so England, New Zealand, right? That's what everybody wants to see in rugby. It hasn't happened for bloody ages, and since then, both teams have created new world records. Well, sorry, England matched the consecutive win world record. Mm-hmm. They're not going to play until, well, not this year. Not going to happen. So people were saying on the verge of the Ireland match that England then lost, that New Zealand has to play England at the end of the year. So they go, well, look, let's just scrap this Barbarians game because nobody really cares about that. To which everyone was like, yeah, cool, good plan. Well, it seems that New Zealand versus the Barbarians is going on. So England versus New Zealand, not going to happen in November. Pretty much done, dusted, not going to happen. So we just got the Lions tour to look forward to, where we see the two best teams sort of coming against each other.
You say sort of?
Sort of, yeah, because then they've got to select Welsh people, Irish people, Scottish, and those other kinds. So Super Rugby for the weekend, lots and lots of fixtures as per usual. Tomorrow kicks off Friday morning, 8:35, Crusaders versus the Force. Then the Rebels versus the Waratahs. Tomorrow I shall be giving you all my takes on who's going to win here. Saturday we've got Blues versus the Bulls. The Bulls finally go on the road, which is a bit worrying seeing as they were so shite at home. 8:35, that one will kick off. And then Brumbies versus the Highlanders, 10:45. Sunwolves versus a weakened Stormers side, 12:55. The Kings and the Lions, 3:05. The Cheetahs versus the Sharks at 5:15. And
why
then the Reds.
Such stupid starting times. It's always 3:05, 25 past this, 5 minutes to. Why can't they start at
on the hour?
What's the problem with these people?
I'm not sure, Gareth. It's a very good question. What would you, I do not have the answer for right now?
Listen to all those times. Is one of them on the hour or the half hour? No.
No. 8:35, 10:45, 12:55, 5:03.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, so Cheetahs versus the Sharks, 5:15, and then at 20 minutes to midnight.
You're joking.
No, I'm serious.
20
minutes to midnight, the Jaguars versus the Reds.
No one should watch any of these matches ever again. It's a complete waste
for
of your
that
time.
Reason.
Yeah, just it's messing you around.
Crap. In football this weekend, well, we've got European World Cup qualifiers and South American World Cup qualifiers. This is when people then go to their, oh, this is my third favorite team kind of speech, which is obviously no speech whatsoever. So there'll be no exciting league action or cup action. So just the World Cup qualifiers, which, let's be honest, is a bit of a joke because if people really care about their clubs, they generally pull a bit of a sickie this time around. So if you're very talented and you play in a big money league, but you're also Lithuanian, you go, oh, my hamstring is not so great. It's going to take at least 4 to 7 days to heal. Oh, shit, I'm going to miss that World Cup qualifier. Oh, well. In cricket news, lots to look into for the weekend. You've got the big grudge match, India versus Australia. And of course, the press are really hyping the fact that these teams hate each other right now. Mm-hmm. Bit of a boring story, really, because ultimately they all end up being mates and they say cliche things to each other. But it is 1-1 that test series, and all to play for in the fourth test starting on Saturday. Same to happen for New Zealand versus SA, which will start at 11:30 at night, Gareth.
Oh, really? That's a spot on the half hour time.
Yeah.
How extraordinary that they managed to get that right.
Well, there with time differences, it might be on the hour. Who knows?
All right.
And New Zealand versus SA, but there's injuries all over the place, right? Quinton de Kock's finger is looking a bit dodgy, and Tim Southee's hamstring's also looking a bit dodgy. So it all to see who's going to be in the starting lineups here.
All right.
But I think SA should have the wood over them, because if they don't have Bolt or Southee, they've got no real bowlers, and then their batting's already kind of fragile. So look for SA to kind of bring this home, even without de Kock, although he might play. Finally, okay, two more stories. We've got the WGC match play, right? Soren Kjeldsen beat Rory McIlroy last night. McIlroy was bombing it off the tee all over the place, but Kjeldsen, a small Scandinavian man, was just hurling putts. And that's all you need to do to win golf. Some Japanese guy beat Jordan Spieth. Jason Day withdrew because his mother has some cancer, which is very unfortunate. Uh-huh. She needs to go for some more treatment. And he says a golf course is no place for him right now. Brandon Grace, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Watzel, all with good wins, though. So today, and the match play is the business. It really is. Thomas Peters take on Jonathan Vegas. Hideki Matsuyama versus Ross Fischer. Louis Oosthuizen versus Jim Furyk. Dustin Johnson versus Martin Keimer. Phil Mickelson versus Daniel Berger, who won 7-5 yesterday. Grace will take on William McGirt. Rory McIlroy versus Gary Woodland. Charles Watzel versus Joris Lighton. And Jordan Spieth will play another Japanese guy. Finally, in athletics, Henrico Brainchi's gift, Leo Klela.
Brain cheese.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Brain cheese.
Brain cheese. Okay.
Gift. Brain cheese. Gift Leotlela, Clarence Munyai, and Akani Tsimbini. This is the SA relay 100 meter team, right?
Right.
So we've been saying we've got great sprinters, but why aren't they having a relay team in the Olympics? I mean, Brazil were winning medals not so long ago in sprinting. So
probably because Sascock can't get their heads out of their backside.
Spot on. So 38.47, that's the time they got last night in the SA.
That's good, right?
Bloody good, yeah. Gareth. Yes, it's the second best all time for the SA team. And it's really good considering the IAAF World Relays will be taking place in Bahamas next month.
Good.
And then in London, August this year, IAAF World Championships. These four guys get together. They're young, they're talented, they're really, really great. And of course, Tokyo is not so long away.
Well, you see, we're so terrible at every other sport at the moment. Relay's actually got a chance of being popular.
Damn right. We've got such great sprinters. Medal chance. This is what I'm getting excited about.
No one's watching rugby. No one's watching cricket. No one's watching soccer.
People still watch cricket.
Well, a few of the lingerers. But
yeah, I do.
You do. No one else. Here's a chance for us to watch something and actually win.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And nice. It's the relay. So it's right. Sprinting.
Thank you, Ben.
That's it.
All right, that's the sport. Let's get to Anthea and the money shot for this morning. Interesting stuff to talk about today. Here she is, Anthea Gardner, with her theme music. You know, every single week I get a brand new version of this from somebody. It's the most popular song in the world, if you ask me. She looks up for money, so hard for it only. All right, Anthea is here this morning with a guest I've been waiting to speak to for a very long time. His name is Charles Pettit. He is the CEO of Stellar Capital. And you've run you had a distinction at one point, which I remember Anthea telling me about, of being the CEO of two listed companies at the same time.
Great.
How are you, Charles?
Good, thanks, Gareth.
Good, nice to see you. I've been wanting to talk to you for the longest time because I bought a bunch of Stellar shares on Anthea's good advice a long time ago. They've done nothing but give me misery. Nothing, okay. Charles. Yeah.
So Charles, we bought some before the rights issue, and then we took up some more in the rights issue at R2.30, and they're now trading at what, R1.15, R1.20, somewhere around there. I mean, I think at the time when I advised, really I bought into one, like the management company, two, the industrial sector that you were playing in, and then obviously asset management. I completely understand the metrics there. And the share price just kind of hasn't fulfilled my hopes, I guess, is yeah. the question.
I mean, hang on a second. Is this some sort of financial roast you brought this guy
in for? No.
First of all,
I wanted to know. I'm kind of interested in what the big picture is for Stella because, I mean, it seems to me there are a lot of very smart people involved in this business. There's a lot of really good businesses that you own in large part. Mm-hmm. And I think that it should just be doing a whole lot better than it is. Is it the market? Is it that you guys haven't yet done the things that you wanted to do? I'm just curious because it's sort of sitting there almost ready to fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I mean, I was chatting to Anthea beforehand. I think, admittedly, I think for the last year and a half, we've had a very tough time with our share price. But strangely enough, I mean, you're looking at a business now that's, the business is much better than it was a year ago, or a year and a half ago. But a year and a half ago, the share price was 2 rand 30, and today it's 1 rand 20 or 1 rand 15. So you can buy a business that's much better for effectively half the price. So I think it, you know, like you say, it's a screaming buy.
Sure.
There's been a number of things that have played into the share price underperforming. I think the major one was the timing of our investment into Tor. So we made that investment effectively at just prior to the mining sector collapsing and industrials coming under a lot of pressure. So, you know, from our perspective, we timed that.
Tor's heavy industrial equipment and stuff, right?
Yeah, so Tor's essentially a distribution business, but focused on the mining sector and the construction sector.
Okay.
But mining is 60% of the revenue, so very, very exposed to mining.
All right. Well, I mean, then aside from the question of timing, because I totally understand that, when are we going to see the next move in terms of either an acquisition or any of those things? Because people are kind of curious about what the long-term plan might be.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing because we're criticized when we do acquisitions for being too active, and then we're criticized when we don't do acquisitions for not being active enough. But I think what's important is that last year we spent R1 billion on two new deals. So we acquired a business called Amacor. We also acquired half of a business called Prescient. So those are the two businesses that are really the core of our industrial and financial services strategies going forward. So I think that, you know, really what we're asking now is that people sit back and see the quality of the businesses we bought, and actually see the impacts of those businesses. There will be more activity from our side, but unlikely to be a large acquisition. That's not really what's going
to
happen.
And are you looking to get earnings accretion from Tor or from Prescient? Which is kind of your preferred play at the moment? Is that an unfair question? It's like asking a parent which of its children it prefers.
Is the favorite, yeah.
Well, we obviously love them both, you know?
Yeah.
But
sure.
No, it's a different, very different types of businesses. You're going to get something different from both of them. So from Prescient, what you're looking at is a very cash flow generative business with good, consistent growth prospects. You're talking a 15 to 20% a year growth business. With Tor, you're looking at a business that's more cyclical, so it kind of plays to the economy, but where there's a lot of upside. So as the economy turns, you know, you could see the business doubling and tripling in value, which is unlikely to happen with Prescient. But Tor is, you know, it could also be flat for a year.
Charles,
year
how has the commodity price rally in the last year not helped Tor or the mining sector? How is that possible?
So it has helped, but what you see, there's a lag between commodity prices and activity. You know? So commodity prices started improving, miners started making more money, but effectively they first used that money to repair their balance sheets, to pay down debt and strengthen their balance sheets. What you're starting to see now is they're starting to feel confident again, so the CapEx is coming through. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of our customers had CapEx freezes for a long period of time. Those have been lifted and we're starting to see activity. So Tor's actually trading very well for the last 3 to 4 months. So we are starting to see the turnaround in Tor already.
I'm curious about kind of your background, and it's always nice when we have you know, people who run businesses in here because we find out a little bit about where they come from and where you started. You want to give us a quick snapshot of that?
Sure.
Can I interject? Do you know that Ben and Charles were at school together?
You what?
Yeah.
So, what?
Things turn out differently from there.
You don't look old, enough to have gone to school with Ben. You weren't at the same, what are you, the same age?
Yeah, we were at school together. So.
Yeah, we were the same year. So, Jesus. Yeah, a few months apart.
Ben, you've aged badly.
I know. Well, I keep saying this. It's these early mornings.
Oh, okay, I wondered why you were standing up for him. Okay, yeah. So how did you get into business and what did you start with?
I started at school with Ben, but from a business perspective, I started. I essentially started my own business when I was 28. So I'd come back from London where I was working in corporate finance. Mm-hmm. I started my own corporate finance business at the age of 28, built that over a few years, sold it in 2012, used some of the money to buy a stake in a business called SA French, which was a bankrupt listed crane hire company at the time.
Just hold on a second. You started your business in 2008. That was the worst possible time to start anything, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was
brave of you.
Well, I had no choice. I couldn't find a job, so I started my own business. Then I bought a stake in SA French, and we built that over 2.5 years into Tor. So we did something like 25 acquisitions over 2.5 years. And then 2015 reversed my stake in Tor into Stellar and started building a bigger, more diversified business. So it was never my intention to be industrial long term, but I had a very interesting 4 year stint in there. But now focused on a more diversified type business.
When you talk about diversified businesses, I'm always curious as to how diverse you want it to be, because there's a kind of a sweet spot where you've got enough of different sectors that you are able to see a growth taking place across the whole lot, but there are always going to be some that outperform others. And there's some areas you just should not go if you are in others, if you know what I mean.
No, correct.
They're almost diametrically opposed in terms of the kind of the value they provide.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think, you know, for us, we've said, look, we're focused financial services and industrial.
Right.
We like the fact that they give us something different. So industrial is more cyclical, but it gives you, you know, very big upside when it's going right and when the economy is expanding. Financial services, typically higher margin, more cash generative, more consistent. So you get something different from the two. So you get good cash flows, good consistency, and then big upside. So we like the mix. And those are the two sectors that I understand and my team understands. So we're not going to go beyond those sectors. We're not going to go into mining or property or anything like that. But there's enough diversity there to also give us a bit of downside protection.
Well, that's kind of why we like Stellar. I mean, that's why Anthea is a cheerleader, really. I mean, and she doesn't stand up for a lot of shares. She tells us to get rid of stuff ASAP when she doesn't believe in it. But I do think, you know, this is why I'm curious about the business, because to me, it seems like a business that really has massive potential. And I do think that you've got a great team in place there as well, from what Anthea tells me.
Yeah, we've got a very good team. I mean, the guys that are working with me have been with me through, you know, every single one of those businesses I mentioned a moment ago. We've got excellent shareholders. I mean, Chris Davies is an anchor shareholder of ours. He's been very supportive through this time. You know, it's been a tough time, but he's been provided a lot of counsel and support through this period. So very good shareholders.
Had the easiest time himself with some of his companies.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But he's seen it all before, you know, so I don't think he's particularly worried. So I think, you know, I think really for us is the focus is long term. It has to be, because I was mentioning to Anthea just now there, I think the only consolation I can offer you is that I also invested at 2 and 30. But this is my only investment, so I don't have.
No.
At least you have Advitech.
So I think we've got very good shareholders, long term shareholders. So the focus is on the businesses rather than the share price. And I think if we continue to build the businesses, you know, grow them effectively, and then over time start to do things, I think that will demonstrate our confidence in the business, like pay dividends, buy our shares back, potentially sell some assets at premiums to what we're valuing them at.
Right.
I think the market will start to see what we're doing, and they'll start to have more confidence in the share as well.
No, it sounds like it's a very good plan. Do you ever think about maybe buying people you went to school with as slaves, particularly when they're not doing as well as you are? I mean, do you ever think about how much it would cost to actually make Ben work for you?
I totally forgot what a dick you actually are. We had 2 weeks without you, and it was so nice.
You know what, Charles, you've built this amazing company. You know what Ben's got? He's got a cat. Shows you. Just by the way, for anybody who's thinking, well, you know, if you go to X school or Y school, you're guaranteed success. Well, it's not true.
Yeah.
No, Ben is one of the great success stories of Weinberg Boys, I tell you.
Well, in some ways he is. I can understand that. I don't think he's a moron. I wouldn't want him working for me if he was. It's quite a cool story, though, for a South African who's been in, you know, global finance in London. And also during that time, that must have been a hell of a ride. Because were you there for the 2008 crash?
Yeah, I left.
Is that why you came back?
Yeah, basically. I mean, when I was finishing off in London was when those Lehman Brothers hedge funds went into liquidation.
Did you see those people leaving the buildings with their boxes of stuff?
On the TV.
But that was me.
Actually, Anthea did.
It was the beginning of the financial crisis. So we sat and we watched the news and we watched the banks folding, and we saw in the market that, you know, the private equity market that we were working in it froze up overnight. So the debt markets froze up. So it was a very, very fascinating time to, you know, to kind of be in the markets. Yeah.
Oh, certainly. Yes. The lessons you learn, it's incredible. the sleepless nights you have.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate you coming to talk to us. It's nice. I know you had to wake up extra early this morning, but you're probably the kind of person who gets a lot done in a day. So
yeah, no, I'm always up at this time. So no
there we go. You see, there's a good reason for us to keep waking up early in the morning. We might end up running very big companies one day, maybe even two of them at the same time.
Who knows? thanks, so Charles.
Proof that it can be done. Thanks, Charles. Very good to meet you.
Thanks
for coming in. So if you want to know more, you can obviously stay tuned to the Money Shot. And do you want to give us any updates quickly? I mean, you haven't even told us the thing about what's going on.
Oh, I don't really want to. The market
was
down 1.5% exactly. Yeah, but at least our CPI came in a little bit lower than expected, or pretty much in consensus, 6.3%.
And what is going on with this Rand? 12.56 to the dollar.
Well, our current account deficit was much better than expected as well. So it really does look like we are almost turning the corner from an economic point of view. I mean, I think people are struggling to explain the current account deficit. It looks like we've done a lot more exports, stronger rand. Everything just has worked somehow in the last month or two. So, yeah. So I think barring kind of any huge political blunder, this rand looks like it's going to stay strong for a while still. So seriously, I really am looking at repositioning my portfolio at the moment. But 70% of South Africans' top 40 shares are actually rand hedge. And if I do that, then I'm probably going to be long more banks, I'm hardly long retail. So I might buy some more retail shares. We'll see.
Just by the way, I thought of those people who might have bought a whole lot of offshore assets and kind of foreign currency just after Nenegate. And I wonder how they must be feeling now. That couldn't have been a good buy.
But isn't that always what happens? The rand blows out and then people rush offshore.
Yeah.
And now when the rand is strong, everyone's probably sitting on their hands.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Anthea. Thank you very much, Charles. There's a little update with you, plus some inside info on what's on the cards for Stellar Capital and for Tor. Interesting stuff. I really didn't know that you went to school with decent people, Ben.
I did.
You were raised in the wild.
No, there were some decent people here and there. Very much minority, of course.
All right. When we come back in a moment or two, I'll stop giving Ben shit and we can actually move on with the show. It'll make you happy, right?
We got Justice next, right?
Justice Malala and the Burning Platform coming up next on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.